All right. Welcome to Under the Influence. Hi, Kenzie. I know you don't have much of a voice. How's your week been?
It's just, I'm not going to say it's another week because it's been a tough one, just transparently. I know we've talked, but it has been a rough week.
Oh, I mean, there was a point that I was just sending you, like, I wasn't even expecting responses. I was just sending you messages. I was just like, blah, 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 blah. Because, and not just to you, to other people, but we'll get there. Let me back up. Last week, was it last show that we talked about Cake Bake, or was it the show prior? I think it was last week.
I think it was last week.
Okay, so imagine all of that, and I put up clips and everything. I don't even know when it was. It could have been 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter. So all I remember is I put up video clips. And, you know, at some point I think you'll see video with this podcast as it evolves. But I particularly put up clips talking about Cake Bake and that guy Tom from, WDWNT?
Okay. Wait, I didn't know that's who you were talking about.
Who'd you think I was talking about?
Well, you didn't say names, but that's who my sister used to work for.
Oh, well, see, now, like, this is a thing. Like, first of all, he's a complete whack job, all right, number one. I'm just going to say it.
Well, I know.
Okay, but see, we don't produce the show ahead of time, Kenzie, so say whatever you want. I don't care. Now she's like, oh, I wish I had a voice. So whatever, take notes for next time. So anyway, listen, so you already got ahead of me because now the audience is like, wait, what? Back up. So I was ranting about his tone deaf commentary on if you can't afford to go to Disney, don't go. And then, he posted how he spent $93 on cake at Cake Bake. Well, I don't do a lot of media. Number one, in the early days, I would message Disney and they're like, we're not really bringing people. We're very like, and I actually understand, and I can get into that on a whole nother level, why Disney doesn't invite me beyond me being, you know, very forward in my opinion, being very opinionated. But even in the early days when I kept my opinions to myself, okay, I still understand why. I don't fit the mold. Now, a guy like that's been doing it for a long time. So in Disney's world, no pun intended, he's legacy. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he's been on their media list for well over a decade. Okay.
Yeah.
But he's a dweeb. He's a dweeb. and like he spent $93 on cake. Could he spend $93 on a backdrop for his little YouTube show? Okay. Because anyway, so I don't do a lot of, I don't get invited to media at all, but I've done some stuff with the Dolphin and Swan. So they put me on their media list for their food and wine deal, which, by the way, I turned out footage quicker than anybody. Those guys are so used to going to these media events. They're just like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to, I'm like, I cranked out edits because just I used to do red carpets and stuff in LA, and I just have this, I'm wired. You do the event and you turn it around and you get it out, right? Because in theory, there's another one. There's another one, right? That's how you're supposed to operate. Anyway, but I don't do a lot of these. I get there and I get there on time, even though we have to stand around for 45 minutes. And I have social anxiety. Okay, so despite, like, you know, being able to do what I do and all that, I have social anxiety. So I'm standing there, and all of this, all these different people are rolling in, and there comes Tom. Tom walks right in. Now, he doesn't have a clue who I am, nor should he. But I know who he is. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now, in my mind, every version of what I could do is running through my mind, including the things I shouldn't do and would never do. Right?
Oh, boy.
But no, I'm just, because I could just, like, walk up to him and be like, you know, you're a shill. You're a shill. Like, why are you even here right now?
Who are you?
Like, why are you here right now? You probably already made the video. Right. Who are you? I don't care. Who are you? That's the real question. Who are you, Tom? First of all, you look like every tech guy that Disney has ever hired, okay? I know about five guys that work for Disney that look like you, including me, okay? So if I shave my head, all right, and go to Dunkin' Donuts real quick, by tomorrow this time, I'll look just like Tom, okay? Because he is whatever. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deserve my attention. But at least I'm punching up in theory, right? Because he's got a bigger platform. I wouldn't want to be a platform Tom was standing on. What?
It's just funny you ran into him like right after we, you know.
Yeah, right.
And all of this.
So by the way, so I'm standing around. I'm not, and I see like another creator who I actually, you know, I'm fond of in a business sense, not in a creator sense. And I didn't even feel like talking to anybody. I was stressed. It was Monday before the election. And I was just like, so I said, hey, how are you? You know, whatever. And that was during the event. Because during the event, by the way, Kenzie, everybody's doing the same thing. Shoving food in their face on camera. And I'm like, ugh, it's windy. And then anywhere that I can go, I could just hear people talking behind me. So I used AI to scrub all the background audio out of my video. You know?
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not going to name their names, but I'm hearing this one and that one in the background yentering it up about some girl, okay? And I'm like, I don't even know if you want people hearing what you're talking about right now, okay?
Right, so, it's distracting and irrelevant of what's going on.
And to the media planners, like, very cool, thanks for having me. You have a bunch of content creators there. Having somebody playing background music doesn't make sense from a licensing perspective on social media, and it doesn't make sense from an editing perspective on social media. So my note there is don't have background music at a media event. It's really bad for content creation. But again, hey, what do I know? Okay, so Tom is there, and the whole time, of course, in my mind, I'm just like, I can't wait to talk to Kenzie on the podcast. Like, I should have texted you right then and there and been like, Kenzie, we should just do this right now. I should just record the podcast right now. Do it right now. Like Bill, like what was it? Who was it? Bill O'Reilly. I'll do it live. You don't get the reference. You're too young. You don't get the reference.
I know who he is.
By the way, do you see my hands flying in the air today, Kenzie? Like I am in full Italian mode today. So
it might be good for how dramatic this episode is going to be.
Oh my God, I have notes. So all right, so that's Tom. All right, and now who is Tom in the grand scheme of things? Nobody. All right, but he's a shill, and I don't think if I'm Disney, I really want a guy like that telling people like, hey, if you're too poor to go to Disney, we didn't want you in the first place. Okay? So, needless to say, I got my footage, I got in, I got out, I even cut a video for YouTube, I didn't even post it. I'm like, I made enough. Like, I cranked out four videos in like no time, you know? So, I don't know, whatever.
Are you going to post it or
the YouTube? I don't know. Whatever. No, I mean, because there's finishing involved in it.
You know people like that stuff.
You know what, Kenzie? I got so many videos to post. And sometimes I just look at the stuff and I like in my head, I finish the video and I'm like, eh. And I forget that things that I know are interesting to other people. So I often dismiss things because I over edit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I could release it. Listen, I'm sitting on TikTok videos to release and I'm still stewing over the future of what we're doing here. You know, people want me live in the parks. I posted a video, Kenzie, a video about this media event for Wounded Warriors. Okay. They're charging. Mm-hmm. I was going to make a pun that I didn't even want to make. I'm going to tell you what I was going to say anyway, because I didn't mean it. So I'm innocent. I was, because these tickets are hundreds of dollars for this food and wine thing, a night, Kenzie.
Right.
I was about to say they're charging an arm and a leg, but it's for a good cause. But then I realized it's Wounded Warriors, so I shouldn't say that.
Oh, no.
So I'm not going to say that. I caught myself, okay? But it's a fantastic cause, and we don't take care of our veterans in this country, okay? The VA wastes billions of dollars annually because they don't even seek competitive bids, all right? So these are things that I just know because I have a history of being involved in educating myself over the years, okay? And we'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, I'm at this media event. I posted my videos. Maybe I'll finish the YouTube video and post it. I got stuff for TikTok to post. Whatever. The next day is the election. All right. Now, I just want to preface this by saying I'm an independent. I've always been an independent. And I am not a Democrat. I'm not a progressive. I shake out on different sides of different issues. But I was taken aback. I look, the Democrats dropped the ball. Let me start right there, okay, before you turn this thing off. And don't turn it off, because I think you're going to like what I have to say, I think. Maybe you're not. And if you turn it off, goodbye. So the Democrats dropped the ball, but they are so tone deaf, and they are so occupied with identity politics, okay, that they failed to keep the working class. If you look at the way the votes shook out, okay, they didn't have to work too hard to win. They just had to get out of their own way. And people like Nancy Pelosi are everything that's wrong with the future of the Democrat Party, all right? And so is her nephew, Gavin Newsom. And I'm tired of reading on Twitter that they should run Newsom. Newsom's a horrible person, let alone leader, okay? And nobody wants Nancy Pelosi's nephew running for in 4 years, nor should we be talking about the next 4 years, okay? Because we got to stop that, all right? And the first thing we have to do is understand what just happened and why it happened. And look, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I worked on Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. I didn't like Bernie Sanders. But the other day I came across a clip from over a decade ago of Bernie talking to students and talking about the Republican playbook, and how instead of talking about issues, or not issues, but instead of talking about their agenda, they divide people, okay? Okay, so their playbook is to divide. It's the same playbook the media uses, right? The media divides us. But the Democrat playbook, the Democrats' playbook, they don't even have one. Like, they don't even know. I'm listening to them now. I'm listening to everything that's being said. They're pointing fingers, okay? They don't know where to look introspectively to figure out what went wrong, and that tells you all you need to know. So what happens is you have a bunch of folks, okay, that start to vote for whatever their issue is, generally based off of fear. And I'm telling you right now, and I am not an anti-Trumper, and I am not like, I'm not a Democrat at none of these things. I'm an independent through and through. But I'm telling you right now, what just happened was a whole bunch of people voting against their self-interest. Because that was the strategy, to divide. And inadvertently, by dividing, they made the tent bigger for their broken party. And the broken Democrat Party over there doesn't have a clue what's going on. They're spending millions of dollars to bring in Beyonce instead of talking about working class issues. And then, Kenzie, you got to take a step back. I grew up in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which was a huge part of this election, okay? That's where Trump went when he went to McDonald's, all right? I grew up in Bucks County. These are working class folks, and they will vote either way. And if you look at the history of our country, we swing back and forth. Watch what's going to happen. We're going to come up on the midterms, and things are going to start to swing back the other way. Why does that happen? Because none of these politicians ever do anything to help the working class. So now what has just happened in this country, and I'm not saying Kamala was the solution, but what you've just unleashed now is now a playbook that comes from Steve Bannon, okay, it's coming out from Elon Musk, all right, and it's all vis-a-vis Vladimir Putin. And I am so shocked that people don't realize, Kenzie, my head almost exploded over the tariffs thing. Like, the fact that people don't know what tariffs are and how they're applied, my head got so melted with reading what people didn't understand about that issue and still don't understand, that I started to think that maybe I didn't understand it. Feel free to jump in. I know you don't have much of a voice. I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah, I mean, no, I know. And I,
Shame on Nancy Pelosi. Excuse me, Kenzie. Shame on Nancy Pelosi. I worked on Barack Obama's campaign. Okay, do you know how many people voted for Donald Trump right now that voted for Barack Obama in his first term? You have to understand why that happens. Donald Trump is a part of this country's history. He represents nostalgia. If you match that with bad information and a platform like Twitter, you have the perfect recipe to tip the scales. This may have been an electoral landslide, but it was not the blowout that everybody wants you to believe it was. And shame on Nancy Pelosi for doing that to Joe Biden. And I like Joe Biden. I've had the good fortune of working with Joe Biden when I worked on Barack Obama's campaign. And I think he's a good dude, and I think he did a lot of good. But if the voters don't agree with you, you can't lecture them on it. You have to. You got to stop. You got to stop talking down to voters and start talking with your voters. You handed the election over. Now the problem I have, and again, Kenzie, I'm ready to fight. Okay, I'm ready to fight. And that's not an anti-Trump thing. But watch what's going to happen here over time. Watch very quickly. I'm going to choke and get all riled up. Watch very quickly how things start to fall apart and how buyer's remorse sets in, because this country has a very short-term memory. And things start to go down and people are like, well, I didn't realize that. Or, well, that's not what I voted for. Well, no, but you opened up the gates to vitriol. You opened up the gates to hate. It's not a Trump is Hitler thing. Okay, if anything, what you've done now is when a real Hitler comes, okay, you cried wolf. Trump isn't smart enough to be Hitler, okay? But the people around him are dangerous enough to let him do whatever he wants as long as they get what they want. There are some dangerous people, including Elon Musk, that you all just let in. I didn't expect to feel this way, Kenzie. I didn't expect to feel this way because I did not like what the Democrats did. Again, I'm an independent. You cannot usurp democracy and then use democracy as an argument. But we got to pull back to the center. Center is left. That literally, I mean that in every sense of the word. That is all that's left, and center is left. If you want to win if you want to win anything as a Democrat Party moving forward, and again, I'm an independent, you got to move to the center and you got to start listening to working class voters.
Yeah, and I guess I'll just say, so I will come out and say first, I am a Democrat. That's the party that I affiliate with. It's the party that I voted for.
Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
It's funny. I grew up a Republican. It's what I knew. It's what I was told. It was what I was encouraged to vote for my whole life. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts, but the things that you have mentioned have kind of been like a second thought to me, because in my mind, the most important thing to me in this election was humanity, because that, in my opinion, comes first. And that is why I am so upset about how the results came out. And I don't want to argue with anybody because it's not worth it to me. I don't have the energy to do it. Very depressing and sad, quite frankly. So I feel like you and I have different thoughts on why we voted the way that we did, but we're not completely in a disagreement with things.
No, I don't think we disagree at all. I don't think we disagree at all. I mean, I'm talking, listen, you can't start pointing fingers now. You have to start opening arms, right? The reason I find it so depressing, Kenzie, is because of what you just said about humanity, right? So when you use hate and division to divide people, okay, that's what Bernie Sanders was talking about in that video. And I did not like Bernie as a candidate, but I try to be open-minded. So I'm watching this clip, and it's like, you know, the media is the same way. Every single morning, the media tells you what to be outraged on, you know? So that's the part for me that stings, is the humanity part. I understand all the other parts. The problem is, you got sold a bag of you got sold a bad bag of goods, because we know what this is. History has shown us what this is. And I don't necessarily worry about Washington at the moment. I worry about local communities. I worry about guys going up to girls in school and saying, "Your body, my choice." Like, that's disgusting. That's horrendous. And like, that makes me want to, like, you don't, I like, don't let me hear anything like that. Like, that is, that's the problem, is you woke up such nastiness. It's always been there in our culture. Just go flip through the dial. Okay. Why do you think The Real Housewives is so popular? It's in our culture. But what now just happened is a whole bunch of people feel endorsed and empowered by this. And that's who I fear for. Not
completely.
The Trump is Hitler thing.
Well, the sad thing is that he endorses it, you know? Like, he's made people think that it's okay to be hateful, to mock people, to say horrible things, and there's no repercussions. He gets away with everything. He has immunity on so many levels. I'm not even going to go there, but it's just disgusting. It's so disgusting.
Well, and then, he's testing the guardrails, right? So even if it's not him, now the weaknesses have been tested for the next person.
Well, and look at the text I just sent you. There, this came up on Reddit, and this is a text that's going around to students at University of Cincinnati's campus. And apparently it's going around to other, you know, communities as well. But, like, this is the kind of stuff that we're seeing, and I'm not even going to say it on air because it's foul.
No, it's disgusting. And people know what we're talking about. People, generally speaking, people, you're talking about text messages telling black folks that their bus to the plantation is going to arrive whenever. Just really nasty stuff. But here's the problem I have, Kenzie. They will never trace those numbers. Those numbers are untraceable. Why do we allow that? Why is there not something in there? You shouldn't be allowed to just create an anonymous phone number with no traceable record to be able to say something like that, which is criminal.
Right.
Criminal.
Yep.
I know from my own experience that stuff, they can't do anything. They can spend 3 months going after it. They'll never find. So why do we allow these
things? It's not a priority. They just don't care. And I think they'll, you know what I mean? Like, God.
Yeah. So I listen, and I know you don't want, and I'm not arguing with you, because honestly, I don't even, and you know, I don't think anybody really disagrees on what they want. So all I'm simply saying is, and you don't hear me chastising people for the way they voted. I jokingly said that to you. But I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a whole lot of nuttiness that goes down, and there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be disappointed, and everybody's got to have their arms open and be pulled towards the center. Okay? Mm-hmm. The left has to figure out, what's crazy to me is that they like they have all these options on the menu. They're like, well, we don't really know. Like, maybe we should have been more progressive this time. Maybe we should have been more this time. Maybe you should just appeal to working class voters and stop worrying about identity. I'm not saying that the plight of humanity isn't a problem, but that's not what people are voting on. Yeah. And you have to take a look at the culture. It is an I first culture. So people don't,
yes.
Kenzie, nobody cares how you feel right now. I do.
I know.
I honestly, that morning, I was texting with like five or six people, and it really showed me like who my friends are. because I don't necessarily agree with all of these people, but people were texting me and I was texting them, and I was like, I was shocked because, like, honestly, I just figured like the deep state would steal the election. Like, I really did. Yeah. Sorry. I figured there was no way in hell you're going to let this guy back in the White House. So now look at the mixed messaging. Now it's peaceful transfer of power, which it should be. But
right. How
are you expecting people to rationalize that with calling fire, shouting fire in a crowded building? So we have to be open-minded.
And you know that this outcome would have been so different on the other side.
Well, correct. So I used to work with a woman named Jenny Cohn. Jenny Cohn, and it's funny because I was looking her up on Twitter today, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Abigail Disney follows her. I used to help Jenny produce pieces, okay? I've been in and around the political world for a long time, all right? And Jenny would always talk to me about how, and I think I told you this last week off the air, but how elections are always stolen by either party at different levels. And I think she said Democrats steal local elections and Republicans steal general elections. Okay. Mm. I could have that completely inverted. I got to get her on because we could talk to her. But the point is A, I don't think anything was necessary. First of all, I think there's a lot of very interesting things that should be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elon Musk using Twitter. Okay, because in many ways,
or trying to buy voters.
Well, but also meeting with Vladimir Putin. Why is Elon Musk going to call with Zelensky? So I have issues with that. I'm willing to give the administration the benefit of the doubt, but I do not expect much. I do like the idea of having a 250th America party, the idea of throwing a celebration for the country that does give off a very World's Fair kind of thing. So, like, there's little things like that. Like, that's cool, but let's focus on the more important things. Let's see what you do. Let's see if you can function through the lens of humanity, to go back to Kenzie's point. Because we do have to solve the immigration problem. But there was a solution to the immigration problem. And Trump picked up the phone and told Republicans not to vote on it. There was a bipartisan bill, whether you like it or not. And he said, no, I want to run on that. That's a problem. You know, so I'm just saying, and I don't think she was great. Okay. And I think the Democrats historically have been out of touch. You know, the reason Barack Obama, by the way, they compare this campaign of hers to Barack Obama. This campaign didn't have any of the energy of Barack Obama's 08 campaign. I was in Henderson, Nevada for like 6-7 months. Okay. That energy was a whole nother level for Barack Obama, and it brought out people from all walks of life. Okay, it really did work because he came in and he was change. Okay, why did Donald Trump win? He's change. Kamala came in at the last minute and she didn't have enough time. But it's the fumes of a Biden administration. You didn't even give voters a chance. You can't tell voters that we got to save democracy and then anoint a candidate. That people aren't going to work with that. But again, all they had to do was appeal to working class voters and they could have won this election. The numbers are not that wide. And then people want to talk about missing votes between last year and this year. Go look at the Obama bump. I mean, there are gaps in voters. I mean, people don't show up. Most of the country doesn't vote in the first place. People will stay home. People will be disenfranchised. So I just, it frustrates me. And there's vitriol on all sides now, right? There's Kamala supporters saying, unfriend me if you voted for Trump. And then there's Trump people that are out there like gloating and at the end of the day, and again, like, yeah, you want to do a victory lap. I get it. But at the end of the day, let's just see how things play out. And when things start to really implode, as I suspect they will, because my eyes are open and I know what history has shown us, let's just remember to let people back in, okay, at least as far as to the center, and not exclude them, because it's going to happen, because it happens every election. It is a pendulum.
Yeah.
So don't push people out right now because they voted a way you don't agree with. That means you're never going to win. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, it's so interesting because I've seen so many people say things like, you know, don't let politics ruin your relationships and other things like that. Like, we can still be friends and disagree. So I don't know. This is a really, really tough one. It's a really, really hard election to be on either end because you have extremists on one side who won't shut up about it. And then you have people on the other end who are, you know, in just not in a great place, you know, that they're scared and they're worried about their rights and their own lives. And it's, there's a huge lack of empathy, and we've never been more divided, in my opinion. So it's, when people say you can agree to disagree, I don't know if we can right now. And that's just how I feel. But we have a long way to come. And unfortunately, I don't think that who we elected is going to allow that to happen, to come together.
Do you know who Archie Bunker is?
No.
Okay. I had a feeling. Do you know who Norman Lear is?
No.
Norman Lear is like a legendary sitcom creator. Okay. Archie Bunker is All in the Family. And have you ever heard of like Meathead? So Archie Bunker, there's so many people in the audience laughing right now, but Archie Bunker was a bigot and it was a sitcom. And the idea, because Norman Lear, who was a prolific television creator, sitcom creator, was a, you know, in theory, a Democrat. I don't even know if Democrat's the right term to use because, you know, those parties swing back and forth, but he was a left minded individual. He wasn't bigoted, but he created this show and made Archie Bunker, this bigoted character, the center of the show, and then used everyone around him to point out his stupidity. And it became a jumping off point for having conversations that normally you wouldn't see on television. Al Bundy became the modern day Archie Bunker. I'm sure you know who Al Bundy is.
I'm just going to sit here and laugh.
You don't remember Married with Children?
Oh, I know. Okay, never mind. I know who this is. But see, I did not watch that, though, but I... Yeah, moving on.
It's like a 12-year spread in our age, so it's kind of interesting. anyway, so the reason I bring this up, because despite the fact that Archie Bunker was meant to be a device to educate, there were people that watched that show, and all they took away from it was the blatant bigotry. There were, of course, those that understood the message, right? And now there are those that point back to that and say that stoked bigotry. There are always going to be people that, irrespective of what someone's intent is, who are going to see it through their own lens. Even though the person that created that show was trying to educate people, okay, there was definitely a negative effect. Or, you know what I mean? So it's sort of like, you know, if Trump is the Archie Bunker, okay, of presidents, there are so many people that can't stand what he says, but there are so many people that love what he says because it's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
Right. You know?
And that's what Archie did, right? So there's a lot of people that probably watched Archie Bunker and were like, that's what I'm thinking, and didn't get that the show was supposed to be teaching a lesson, okay? People are always going to see things through their lens, and I think that's where the Democrats are completely off the mark because they're always trying to lump everybody. Oh, you're a black voter. Oh, you're a gay voter, so you should vote this way. Well, no. I shouldn't
it's
do anything.
It's the easiest way for them to target them.
Right, but that means they have no actual, like, they have no actual mission. They have no actual objective. You know,
yeah.
Working class voters they break all barriers. Okay, you get a room full of working class people together. They're going to represent every demographic. Okay, so I go back to what I said before. By dividing, Trump became the Republican Party under Trump this last election became the arms wide open, big tent, everybody's welcome party.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that to get past it. And I remember growing up going to Atlantic City. I grew up in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, okay? So if you really want to talk about this for a second, the way I was raised, and I mean, in a swing county that has been a huge part of almost every major election, okay, I went to Atlantic City almost every weekend as a kid with my parents, okay, at the height of when mm-hmm. Trump had those casinos, okay? Everybody knew who he was back then, okay? He would stiff contractors. He was a womanizer. He was an attention seeker. And everybody loved him. Okay? All right? You never saw Steve Wynn. I'm sure you don't know who Steve Wynn is. But Steve Wynn isn't Donald Trump. He played a completely different book, a different playbook. But Donald Trump was always that person. He was always trying to put himself out there in the press. The reason they chose Donald Trump for The Apprentice is because when they went to other businessmen, like way more credible businessmen, they said, I don't have the kind of time for this. But he had the time. All right. So, but my point in saying all that is because I was listening to Smear Konish, who I really like, broadcast out of Philly, I believe. And I also probably sound like I'm 75 years old saying that. But he was talking about the fact that, you know, Donald Trump is us, whether we like it or not. This is our culture. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember going up those escalators. You know, I remember my father doing business at the Taj Mahal. Like, I remember growing up with the thought of, would Donald Trump be president? I mean, this is all pre-Apprentice. Like, I remember going up the escalator and seeing the giant picture of him in the casino and my mom joking, oh my God, isn't he so handsome? You know, because he was so wealthy. And I remember these things, you know, and I think back to those casinos. I was thinking back to those casinos this morning, and nostalgia kicked in, Kenzie, irrespective mm-hmm. of my thoughts on the man as a president-elect. And I was like, oh my God, that nostalgia that just kicked in, you can't refute that. That just exists. So that's a huge, he is a huge part of this. And I'm just saying, it's just reality. He's a huge part of this culture. Go back to like Nelly, like Donald Trump, let me in. Donald Trump, let me in. That's a Nelly song from the 90s. That's pre-Apprentice. You know, people have always aspired to be Donald Trump, whether you like it or not. That gaudiness, that gold gaudiness is what sells. That's what sells in this country. Yeah. It just does. So you have to, I mean, that's just something that like I've come to the realization on. And so combine all of those pieces and then you understand how he won, because the Democrats had nothing. They completely played the hand wrong. And the Republicans used fear and division. The Republican candidate used fear and division and also has rock star status and cultural icon status. And you can't take that away. So even if you don't like the way he speaks, you're like, yeah, but I know who he is. He's been around forever.
Right.
Who is she? And you're shoving her down my throats and you're telling me democracy. So you gotta, even if you don't think that your neighbor is intelligent or as intelligent as you, you gotta look at the math.
It's going to be a long 4 years.
It is. And all I'm saying is, because for me, like, I'm going to sit back and watch what happens here. But, you know, there is nobody out there doing centrist alternative media. And I said this to you and several other people. If this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I know these people. I know the Lincoln Project people. I'm not saying they remember who I am, but I got a Rolodex. I'll work it. You know, we'll build this thing up. We'll get on senators. We'll get on anybody and everybody you want to talk to that represents all of us. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an American. I'm an independent-minded individual. And I understand what just happened. I do not like it. I am shocked. I candidly thought that they would have never let it happen. And I'm just being honest with you because I do believe that there is a, you know, there is a, an election integrity issue in this country. I'm not saying this election was stolen, and I'm not saying that the last one was stolen. Those are different conversations for a different day. What I am saying, okay, is that there is corruption within our government, and I honestly am surprised that they let this man get back in the White House.
Yep.
That's not me calling for anything. It's just sort of like, if he's, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but if he's that much of a threat.
No, you're good.
You know?
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying is, you know, seeing how things will play out. Is I have an old teacher from high school who posted on Facebook, and she said, to date, this is where we're at with, you know, gas prices. This is where we're at with groceries, like just listing all these stats. And she said, I'm going to come back to this in a year. I'm going to come back to this in 2 years, you know, just looking at the facts, because that's what all of these people say that they voted for. Right. And it's like, is that actually, you know, is this how this is going to play out? Because, you know,
I bought eggs the other day.
Comes out of his mouth is, yeah.
I bought eggs the other day after the election.
Yeah.
Just because I could. Now, I never buy eggs, but I was like, how much is this really going to hurt right now? And I was like, it's like $4. It's okay. People don't understand how tariffs work, right? So this is what got me. First off, you got a guy telling you he's going to put tariffs on a country, but he himself doesn't even understand what he's saying. Okay, number one. Number two, if you put a tariff on imports, then understand where the tariff is. And even if you understand where the tariff is, and your logic is, well, so what? So the cost of importing foreign goods will go up. It'll force people to use domestic stuff. Well, I have two responses to that. Number one, what if that particular thing you're looking to import isn't available domestically? It's going to take time before that manufacturing can be built up. So you're going to see a huge issue there, and you're going to wind up paying exorbitant prices because it's going to get handed down to the consumer. And then the other argument is, yeah, but that'll force American-made products, and now people will buy American. It'll be cheaper. Well, no, it won't be cheaper, because if the foreign products are gouging us, then people who are making domestic products are going to raise their prices because they can, because they'll still be cheaper.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. It's like saying you're going to
build
a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, did we learn nothing from 2020?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But we're short-sighted, Kenzie. Every 2 years, the pendulum swings. And there's nobody out there talking the truth. You know, right. Joe Rogan's not that intelligent, and he'll tell you he's not intelligent. He just will listen. He'll listen. He'll bring somebody on and listen. Joe Rogan was the host of Fear Factor. I was there. They used to say, Joe, stop sleeping with all the contestants. We're never going to get this show together. Because he was creating problems. You know, Joe Rogan's a meathead. I like Joe Rogan, but he's a meathead. I don't listen to his podcast or anything. I checked in on those. I checked in on all media during the election. But here's the thing. You bring a person on and let them sit for 3 hours, you're going to show them everybody who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And she should have done Joe Rogan.
You like Joe Rogan?
No, I mean, I like him as an individual. Like, his stand-up in the back of the day was really, really funny. Like, when he had hair, you know. No, I don't like his podcast. I've never listened to a full episode of his podcast.
Yeah.
But the funny thing to me, Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla did The Man Show. And then The Man Show was followed up by Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope. I love Doug Stanhope. I've done radio back in the day, Kenzie. Stanhope used to come on my show all the time. Guy's a great sport. But Joe Rogan was like, where's he going to go? You know? And he did Fear Factor and whatnot. And he's, I respect the business, right? He's built up a very simple model for himself and it works. And he filled a void. You know, there was the Marc Maron podcast for a minute, but Joe Rogan blew Marc Maron out of the water. I don't like Joe Rogan. Like, I'm not like an MMA. I'm none of those things. I respect the business model. I thought he was a good host on Fear Factor, irrespective of what I just said. And I went and saw him do stand-up once. I forget where it was, the Ice House or something. And I had no idea. I had tears rolling down my face. I was like, I didn't know Joe Rogan was this funny. Now, here's a side story. I used to know Joe Rogan's buddy, because I used to do stand-up comedy back in the day in L.A. I knew Joe Rogan. I knew Eddie Bravo, and I knew Joey Diaz. Joey Diaz used to open for Rogan. Joey Diaz called me one day and said, Royce, come open for me and Joe. He's like, I'm going to throw you to the wolves. And I said, I can't. I got to work. Never gave me another opportunity again. So I actually could have opened for Diaz and Rogan way back in the day. Like, it was, wow. I mean, I would have bombed, I'm sure. But, like, I do respect the fact you got to look at anybody that starts in one area and works their way over to another. I'm always fascinated by that. You know, you start off as you're hosting a thing over here, and then you're over there, and you're doing stand-up comedy, and then you work away over here. It's fascinating to watch people metamorphosize. There are a lot of people that do the same thing, okay? And what tends to happen is they do the same thing over and over again, and then they first person that comes to mind is a Howard Stern. They become the opposite of what they once were. But if you continue to evolve, which goes back to the nature of this show, if you continue to evolve, I think you give yourself room for growth. It's kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. This is great because this is on my list. It's kind of fascinating to watch what's happened with this Ariana Grande. I know that sounds like a complete left, like, turn, but because I'm super excited for Wicked.
Me too.
But she made a comment the other... Well, first of all, she made two comments that are relevant to our conversation. One, she made a comment to Disney saying, don't touch Tower in studios.
I saw that.
So I was like, good for you. I don't know where that came from. But she made a comment how she wants to focus on acting and do less music. You know, and I thought about that. I'm like, wow. But, you know, like, your real fans are going to follow you doing whatever you want to do. They may have met you through music, but your real fans are going to follow you with whatever it is you choose to do.
Yep.
And you look at people that have gone from social media influencer, YouTuber, to like the Paul brothers, to a boxer. By the way, I think he's going to get his butt handed to him with Mike Tyson in 5 days. I can't wait to watch that. And the story, I can tell you a Mike Tyson story, but that's just a whole nother time. So, or in like 3 minutes. So it's just fascinating to me to watch people evolve, and I'm still trying to learn, you know? I don't have enough confidence that people will follow me if I stop doing Disney on the lives and start just doing a radio show every morning, even though I think that's all I really want to do, is sort of a podcast format. You know, in my 20s, I would have had all the confidence in the world. At this age, I overthink everything because I know how much work and energy it takes to do anything correctly. And as a serial entrepreneur, I just don't want to start something if I'm not going to put my all into it.
That's fair.
You know? And I was just, because I've been absorbing all this Wicked stuff, because I'm super excited for Wicked, Kenzie. I'm super excited for Wicked. Okay. Sorry. I'm a theater geek.
Me too. All right. No, I am too.
I'm excited. All right. Like, I'm just going to geek out over it. Anyway. So, like, I love The Wizard of Oz and I love theater and anyway, whatever. So I'm just super excited for Wicked. And by the way, I have to tell you this. They've been trying to make this movie for like 15 years. I used to work on the Universal backlot. I used to pass the sign every day on the golf cart for Wicked because they had the bungalows there because they've been developing this forever. So there's a part of me too that has its all, there's almost a nostalgia for my time working at Universal, because I've been, I know that Wicked movie's been coming for most of my adult life.
Okay.
So it's just kind of weird. Not that it's a secret or anything. I mean, people know, right? But it's just one of those weird things where you're like, man, I remember the first, like I remember the first time I saw the 40-year-old Virgin poster go up on the Universal lot back in the day. You're like, what is this? And then it became like a smash hit. I remember seeing that Wicked, and I'm like, no way, they're going to make a Wicked movie? And it's finally here.
You never thought it was going to happen.
Well, and by the way, who was Ariana Grande back then? I mean, was she even on Nickelodeon at that point? So, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just kind of like, because I was absorbing all that Wicked stuff and she had made that comment, I was looking at that and I'm like, you know, that's a big change. And we kind of just look at it, like, oh yeah, no big deal. You're going to go from singing to acting. But like, these are big leaps, you know? Watching people build something up and shifting into a completely different direction. I mean, look at Rihanna, you know, Rihanna's had more success outside of music than she's had with music. I mean, Rihanna's
her beauty line.
Yeah. Well, Fenty, but I mean, she's got lingerie, she's got makeup. I mean, this woman is a mogul. She doesn't want to make music. It's taken up. It's a burden at this point.
Right.
You know, so I'm just fascinated by that. There's a TikToker, what's her face? Is it Addison Rae? And she just put out an album? You know, you're just
please
like,
don't tell me that.
Yeah, I think it's Addison. But you're just like, I'm just fascinated by it, because you're like, I look at it like,
what people are capable of.
I know, well, I'm just sort of like, it's inspiring to me, because I have aspirations, you know? Like, look, all I ever wanted to do was make movies growing up, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here the other day going, wow, you're 43 years old and you've made nothing of yourself. And I go, wait a second, that's like not true at all. You've built up this thing. I mean, you walk into Disney World and people come up to you and tell you, like, you've done something.
Yeah.
So, like, don't lie to yourself. But then I was like, okay, but what does it mean in the grand scheme of things? So then I'm like, well, what do you want to do with that? And I'm like, well, the movie business is dead, and as much as I'd like to get back to that, like, you know, maybe it's a documentary one day, but maybe it all comes back to issues. And maybe it just all comes back to being that kid that was raised in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that really understands what the working class wants from their government. And we're not going to get it. It ain't coming. I'm not saying we were going to get it with Kamala. I'm just saying we sure as hell aren't going to get it under the circus that they just brought in.
Right.
So hopefully you'll stick with me. One of these days I'll pop up in the park again. I got to make money, Ken. I got to make money, Kenzie. But, you know, like the entrepreneur in me doesn't think about money first. It thinks about bigger. I think about bigger things.
Right.
You know, so it's a quest that I'm on right now. But I think for me, that the future of whatever we're doing, whatever platform we're doing on, it's got to involve taking care of our own. It's got to involve, you know, we did that thing helping Keena raise money for folks in North Carolina.
It was meaningful.
And we asked her about FEMA last week. I saw an article yesterday. I guess a few FEMA people in Florida got busted because they denied Trump supporters help. Like, what's wrong with you people? I'm not saying that you can't be PO'd. I'm not saying that you can't, like, want to throw your hands up in the air and not talk to certain people. But if your argument's humanity, then have a little introspection, people.
Right. That's terrible.
Of course it's terrible. It's diametrically opposed to what you're supposed to stand for.
Right.
Now, do you have two more minutes, Kenzie? Can I end on one last rant?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to do one of these things again where I ask you, do you know who this is? And the answer is going to be no.
And if I guarantee it.
If I already did this rant, just stop me dead in my tracks. Did we talk about Justine Bateman yet?
Who?
Okay. Do you know who Justine Bateman is? Obviously not.
No.
Do you know who the actor Jason Bateman is?
Yeah.
Okay, of course you do. Now, here's the funny thing. There was a time where he was completely off the charts and hadn't worked in forever. His sister was a sitcom star in the 80s on a show called Family Ties.
Okay.
Family Ties, starring Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox played a character called Alex Keaton. Alex Keaton, it's funny how this all kind of comes together. I didn't even intend for this, but here we go. Alex Keaton was a kid. He was like a teenager. Suit tie Republican kid, hippie parents. That was the premise for the show.
Okay.
A Republican kid, hippie leftist parents. Didn't even mean to bring up this aspect of the show. Anyway, his sister was played by Justine Bateman. She played Mallory.
Mm-hmm.
Total side note, but for the sake of trivia, Michael J. Fox went on to do a movie, Teen Wolf. Okay. Now, I worked with a lot of people, but I happened to work with the producer of Teen Wolf at one point in my life. So I know this story from him. Michael J. Fox committed to doing Teen Wolf 2, but then backed out because of Back to the Future. But the investors were sold on Michael J. Fox, so they had to get him to do a cameo to keep the investors. But he couldn't do the movie. Of all the people in the world, Justine's brother, Jason Bateman, played Teen Wolf in Teen Wolf 2. So there's sort of a loop there. Just a little pop culture trivia.
The more you know.
So funny enough, the guy's name was Tom Coleman. Tom told me the story about that. So that's what happened there, because originally that was only the way they were going to get it done was Michael J. Fox. Otherwise, why are we doing this, you know? So he agreed to a cameo. I don't even know if he actually has a cameo in the movie when it's all said and done. But anyway, I bring all that up because she is now on Twitter raging against anybody who is upset with the outcome of the election. She's taking videos off of TikTok and she's like criticizing people. And she thinks she's being snark, like she thinks she's being funny, because she's critiquing camera angles and this, that, and the other. Well, let me tell you something. This woman's a self-serving lunatic, okay? I should call her right now. I have her number. I've done business with this woman over the years. She's a psychopath, okay? She's bitter, okay? And her brother, who now has all of the fame and acclaim because of Arrested Development and everything he's done since then, Ozarks, I mean, he's out there. He's got 100 production deals. He doesn't give her any production deals because she's a whack job. So now she's out there trolling everybody on Twitter. Kenzie, I got a half of mine. I'm using a burner account right now to troll her. I got a half of mine to go use my other account, my main account, and go after her. She's nasty. I did a deal with her. This is back in the day when Selena Gomez, because her business partners were producing Wizards of Waverly, okay? And I'm sitting in a cafe with her and her business partners, and we're talking about how Selena actually had, it's funny enough how things shake out, how Selena Gomez actually has the ability to have longevity because she wasn't out there chasing paparazzi like Miley back then. She was actually trying to work. Okay?
Interesting.
And it's funny to see how she actually has lived that out. So I applaud her for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting there with this group of people because we're supposed to do a deal together. They're going to bring in the show, and I'm going to bring in the technology. They bring in the content, I bring in the technology. I can't even believe how all these things tie together, okay? I'm doing all these deals, and I happen, because I have a tech patent, okay? So I used to be sitting in meetings with, like, the American Idol people, and the Price is Right people, and the MGM people. I mean, we were just all over town selling this technology. Okay, I was up in the old Pixar offices meeting with Microsoft people. I mean, there's a lot that I've never shared, but I'm all over town shopping this shit in plain English. And this is when I wound up going up to Vegas for the Obama campaign. Didn't even realize how all this tied together. So I fly back down because we have a really, really important meeting. Okay, so I'm up there volunteering, staying on someone's couch in a guest room or a fold-out bed, okay, volunteering on the 08 campaign. And I fly back down to have some meeting over this technology. And I don't remember exactly what happened. All I remember is getting back up And it's funny because at the time, we were sharing offices with Dina Titus, who is now like an elder statesman of Congress, and that was her first election. So it's really wild to think back, you know? But anyway,
yeah.
I just remember being pacing in the parking lot as Justine Bateman yells at me on the phone that it is my job to sell her TV show. I'm the technology guy. I'll never forget. I think I walked back into the campaign offices and threw my phone against the wall. That's how PO'd I was. And everyone was like, Mr. Hollywood's pissed. And I'm like, her business partners had to apologize. She was out of control. I'm like, this woman's nuts. I'm not working with this woman. I think that was the last thing. I'm like, you're crazy. You're crazy, girl. She's just nuts. All she wants is attention. So now she's out there. She's got her moment. She thinks she's clever. Justine, you're despicable. Thank you. I don't even have anything clever to say. I just don't like the woman. I've sat across from her. She's a liar. She cheated her investors out of millions. She's got, they went out and bought jewelry to wear around their necks, diamond encrusted whatever, and just an absolute leech of a human being. So enjoy your moment, Justine. Eventually, it will pass.
Maybe we should get her on the podcast.
I'll call her right now. I had to look it up in an email. If it's still her number, I'll call her right now. I cannot stand her. And now, and she's like, and everyone thinks that she's being like really, really smart because she's using all these terms, but she's just using word salad to sound intellectual. Yeah. And it just really, really bothers me because I'm like, you're just a lunatic. And now what you're doing is you're like, hey, I'm going to pander to this group over here right now because I couldn't get anything else going on anywhere else. So now, even though no one's heard me say, you know, blip forever, now she's out there living it up. So God bless you. I already reached out to one magazine writer because I will gladly throw you under the bus, lady. I do not like you. I'm serious. She's just not a good person.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and look, I mean, look, I got a temper, okay? I remember, so me throwing the phone is not necessarily the right response, but, you know, people push you. And I remember getting a corporate review from my boss at NBC, and it said, Royce doesn't suffer fools. And I said, Richard, what does that mean? I've never heard that phrase at the time. What does that mean? He goes, it means you don't tolerate stupid people. I said, oh, that's correct. I'm not going to argue.
Very accurate.
So she just falls into the category. She had no clue what she was doing, okay, because she couldn't get anything going. She thought it was incumbent upon me to do it for her. Meanwhile, I did a deal with her because I thought she was bringing the missing piece to the table.
Right.
I was showing up with the market-breaking technology. You're supposed to meet me halfway with the content, you nudnik. So again, enjoy your Twitter fame, Justine. It won't last long, just like your acting career or your looks for that matter. No. Okay? How about that? I know you're supposed to be nice, but no, she's a nasty human being.
Yeah, she sounds like it.
Yeah. So anyway, I like to bury things like that at the end of the podcast. Even though that was on the top of my list, funny enough. So my own logic makes no sense. I'm going to give you the final word, Kenzie. I know you don't have a lot of voice. I've been trying to keep the ball in the air. I'm also charged up. This is how I feel. I don't want to go into the park. All I want to do is sit in front of a microphone and podcast and put up you. Like, all I want to do is that model now. That's all I want to do. We could talk about it offline, but that's all I want to do is I want to make the change because there is nobody out there having these conversations. All right? I'll get James Carville on the damn show. I'll get people from both sides. I'll get Anthony Scaramucci. I'll get people on the show eventually. This isn't like anti-Trump. This is pro-working class, pro-middle class. Watch what happens. Let's still be here for each other when the real problems begin. Not being accusatory. I just know my history. Okay. And I'm not like some, I'm not like a history nut. I'm not like a hyper-educated individual by any stretch of the imagination. I've just been paying attention my entire life. Okay? And I'm just trying to be polite about it, Kenzie. Like, there are people that know far more about this stuff than I do. But I know what I know. I'm not saying that there won't be some good that comes out of this administration. There's always good that comes out of an administration. Biden isn't getting any credit for the good that he did. Because it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough.
I don't know if it'll ever be enough, though. You know, like, you can't win and with a lot of people, and it's just, there's always going to be something to criticize somebody for.
Right, that's because we have politicians on both sides of the aisle that are more interested in preserving power, okay, and in lining their pockets with special interest money, capitulating to lobbyists, all right, and ensuring that when they do finally leave term out and leave office, that they've got a cushy, high-paying executive-level job for themselves lined up, or a cable news gig, or they can get on the speaking circuit, or get a book deal. That's all they care about. Okay, legislators are meant to have full-time careers, full-time jobs. They're supposed to go, hold court, and go home. You legislate, and you go home. You're not supposed to have career politicians. I have always wanted a disruptor my entire life. Kenzie, you want to... Nobody... Listen, it wasn't a big deal that Donald Trump was at Madison Square Garden. I was at the Ralph Nader rally, okay, in MSG, all right? This has been done before, all right? I've always wanted a disruptor. I went to many Ralph Nader rallies. I have always wanted a disruptor. At that age, I wasn't educated enough to even understand what I was doing wrong in supporting Ralph Nader, okay? I've always wanted a disruptor. Donald Trump had my vote at the top of the escalator when he first announced he was running. Problem was, when he got to the top of the escalator, he started talking. I've always wanted a disruptor because we have to break up the system. What I'm saying is just watch. It's not, this country has a very short-term memory. The Democrats dropped the ball. I'm not even going to blame the people that voted, because I'm not going to say you voted wrong. Okay. I'm not going to blame people for how they vote. But there are many times that I won't vote. Okay. But what I'm saying is wake up. The left needs to wake up. All right. The media needs to be completely excised because the media keeps us divided. All right. Mm-hmm. And we got to start talking to each other about the differences so we can actually get to the common ground, because most people want to be financially viable. They want to be healthy. They want their kids to have a good education and a good future. Okay. Most people just want to be able to live and not have to constantly work to live. It's the fact that the Democrats don't get that is mind-numbing to me. Speak to folks like you actually care, not like you have an expectation of them. Telling somebody because you're black or Hispanic, you should be voting a certain way is not going to get you that vote. Even if people are voting against their own self-interest, they're still going to vote on the one issue that moves the needle for them. And if you leverage fear, okay, as a tactic, here we are. And that's what just happened. Sorry. I don't think she was great. I think they botched that. He said he was going to be a transitional candidate. So, again, this isn't me saying you should have voted for her. I'm just saying, understand what happened. Both sides understand what just happened. Understand what the next 4 years are going to bring. And let's just remember to meet each other in the middle, because that's how you win an election.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure we're going to talk for like another 10 minutes here, Kenzie, but I will see you all next week. I hope you get your voice back, and we'll see how many listeners we lose after today's show.
Who knows, but you know, it's important stuff. And hey, we put out that forum for questions. So if anybody has thoughts from today, don't be afraid to just submit it. Just do it.
Hey, I'm just here to speak the truth. Okay. I'm not here to sell a bag of goods. I'm just here to speak the truth. At the end of the day, it is lost on me that the Democrats don't understand that working class voters have working class issues. Everything else has to be secondary to win an election, not to be a human being, to win an election. It's a competition. Do you want to win? And I'm not a Democrat, but you can't run as an independent. You can't win as an independent. Okay.
Exactly.
Democrat Party's a mess. The Republican Party's a mess. The country's a mess. And by the way, I said all of that before the election, right? So the election doesn't even change those comments. That's just the bottom line. The pendulum keeps swinging because nothing gets done and the pendulum keeps swinging. So let's not eat each other alive. Okay. Let's not, I understand that people aren't going to talk to certain people. I get it. But let's not eat each other alive. And let's just remember that at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And to stop fearing people because they don't look like you, they don't think like you, or they don't represent the ideas that you believe in. And just remember that we all are here in the same moment. And maybe if we can remember that, we can be a little bit more humane towards each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we all want at the end of the day. So it's either just going to take some time or the right people to make it happen. Or both.
To be continued. See you next week.
Yep. Yeah.